Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have Aphrodite!
Swangled in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions, on Instagram at Macroaggressions Podcast. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and we appreciate the hell out of our sponsors. They make this show possible. Chemical Free Body has been with us from the very beginning. You can check out a company that actually makes supplements that work. It's amazing. It's a revolutionary idea. We're not going to sell you garbage. We're going to sell you things that actually improve your health. Imagine that. Go to chemicalfreebody.com and take a look. They've got a new Pat Miletich formula. It's called Super Soldier. I haven't tried that one yet. I'm going to do it at some point. I have done the detox bundle. That'll clean you out in a way that is maybe a little bit too much, but try it out anyway. Green 85, the green drink, is in my morning routine every morning for the past 3 years. It looks gross and it tastes pretty good. You would be surprised, but it actually works. And Tim James will tell you, everything you need to know about improving your health through his podcast as well. So go to chemicalfreebody.com and the promo code over there is macro. Also, thanks to our friends at Legal Shield that have been in business in the United States and Canada for half a century. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, and they will get you access to high-powered attorneys in your area for a very reasonable rate. How reasonable? I don't know, $1 a day, $30 a month will get you in and get you access to an attorney that can do all kinds of things for you, create legal documents, form a last will and testament for you, a medical directive, financial power of attorney, all kinds of things that you've got to have. You don't want to spend a couple grand with an attorney. Just do this, sign up for it, and knock all that stuff out in the first month and then see how you feel. It'll pay itself off for the next couple of years, I assure you that. The place to do it is over at the website that they built specifically for us. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. You can find out information about all the add-on features that they have, little a la carte items. If you're somebody that carries a gun or you run a small business or maybe both, they've got stuff for you there. So take a look. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. And also this February, I will be hosting and emceeing an Acapulco from lovely Acapulco, Mexico, if it's still there. after the hurricane. If you are interested in going, you can go to anarcapulco.com and use the promo code MACRO to come down and hang out for the week. We're going to be watching the Super Bowl down there Sunday night, and then we're going to do it Monday through Friday and get crazy. The days are filled with a lot of education. The nights are a lot of drinking, let's be honest. So go to anarcapulco.com, promo code MACRO. All right, well, I'm excited for this one. And I'm going to just say in advance, maybe earmuffs. I don't know. We're going to be talking about some things. We've got Nephilim Death Squad with us, everybody. Top Lobster and Raven. Good to see you guys. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for having us, Charlie.
It's great. Yes, it's great to be back with you.
Let's make sure you guys all talk at the same time too. I should have set that up differently.
One, two, three, go.
So, it's good to see you again, Top. Yeah, we've done some shows together. It's good to meet you, Raven. Listen, I'll tell you what kind of cracked me up. We had this scheduled, but then this Owen Benjamin video came out, right? Where he's talking about the beauty of six instead of five, right? And he's talking about, well, you know, five, it sounds good. You got five fingers and it makes this nice, easy number 10, but really the magic number is six. And he went into this explanation. He's out farming or gardening or doing something while he's doing this. And I'm listening to it. And you guys accused him of being maybe a six fingered Nephilim. And he might be. I mean, he is a giant. We know that, right? And so it's not too far out to extrapolate that maybe he's got an extra finger. You guys just had him on, or you were talking to him over, Tower Gang.
What
did he elaborate on the sixes?
He says that he's definitely Nephilim. So I don't know if he has six fingers. He's a very good piano player. But right off the bat, I'm like, okay, we're playing the rule of five. Because most of us are autistic on this. So the rule of five is like, there must be five people only max on screen. Because otherwise we can do seven, eight. There's a lot of people in Tower Gang if Reed's right. Decides to show up. And he's like, that's actually interesting because I don't like the number six either. And now you're talking about the rule of five. And he just like goes into like a 20-minute diatribe about like how the banking system is in like prime six and all these like Jewish counting Babylonian magic money magic systems are like in dividends of six. And I'm just like, holy shit, this is going to be a banger episode. And it was. Yeah. It went a little hard, but yeah.
Well, I mean, he does. That's what he does. He's a perfect fit for you guys too, because he likes to, he likes to push the boundaries. He likes to talk about the things you're not allowed to talk about. He likes to get into all that stuff. Where'd you guys come up with? I mean, listen, I think a strong case can be made that we are living through a ton of Nephilim shit right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is almost undeniable. And now you've got Josie talking about this. I mean, I think this is catching. I mean, you guys are going to wind up with you're going to start last and you're going to wind up with the biggest show. You watch.
Man.
No question there. It was just more like a statement of like, you've timed it perfectly.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to talk for David, but he's been doing this a lot longer than I have, like actually doing podcasts and stuff. So he does have a lot of experience under his belt. And I checked out his show, The Raven Watch. Is it The Raven Watch 777 or is it just The Raven Watch?
No, that's the email address. It's the The Raven's Watch.
Okay.
It's a show where it's just me. I cover a bunch of paranormal topics, conspiracy theories, occult, things of that nature. I wanted to create something where we unpacked a lot of secrets, especially in the way of the occult. So I had guests on who were experts in their field, respectively, whatever it is. And I wanted the information to get to the public because it's very clear to me looking around at any industry, pick one, name it, and you'll find occult symbolism hidden within it, especially at the highest levels. And so I decided the name of the game was let's expose this to the people. And also I can learn alongside them as well because I have a background in all of these things just because I've been a conspiracy theorist for a long time. But I really wanted to open the door to other people so that they're able to learn alongside me. And so, yeah, that's kind of how that started. And then Top found me. He actually found my work and was nice enough to, you know, give me some compliments. And we kind of linked up that way. And then we decided because we had good chemistry and I had this name sitting in the back of my mind where I knew I wanted to... Yeah, we had a lot of chemistry, dude. It was palpable. But I had this name in the back of my mind. I knew I wanted to do something.
I don't know some might even say you guys are a good-looking couple. I'm just saying. I mean, some people have said.
We're definitely not a bad-looking couple. I mean, can we establish that? And yeah, he has seen my penis. And I'm waiting for, there's a whole thing. I was told other people were going to see my penis. Instead, it was just Tower Gang. But I feel like I got duped. But we'll cross that bridge later. There. So I had this name in the back of my mind. Nephilim Death Squad just felt like a banger. Like, it felt like it hit. I didn't even know what it meant. I just knew that it slapped. And so me and Top, we have this rapport. And we're going, what do we call? We should do a show. What do we call it? And so I was like, that one's on the table still. I can't wait to use it. And then, yeah, since then it's taken off. You're right. I think the timing is prime.
You got it. It's like a perfect band name too. You know.
Yeah.
I love your first album.
It's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hopefully, it's not one of those things where it's better than the name.
The name really does pack a punch, because I was on I did something viral again with the kid that was crucified. I don't know if you saw this tweet from. You've seen it. You've seen the tweet, but you don't know it's from me. So I got on the Steve Peters show. Yeah, and Stu Peters is he's like a conservative like pundit, and it's very like Fox News show. Like, they have the banners at the bottom, and it's very like 15 minutes. And so, what do you think about this subject? Real serious. And I'm talking to him seriously about Israel at the time. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I was like, listen, this is all Nephilim shit. And actually, I have a show called Nephilim Death Squad. And I just like dropped that on his head. And the guy goes like this. Like, he's like this the whole time. And he's wearing a suit. And I said Nephilim Death Squad. And he goes, like, just the only reaction of the whole interview I got from him, I was like, this is a great name. This guy, I made you flinch with it. I was like, there's something to this. Like, it affects people.
It drags me. Like, what does it mean?
Yeah. I saw Stu Peter. We were at the American Liberty Awards in Austin. I saw him there. I didn't meet him. I didn't talk to him or anything like that. But he was like a couple rows up in front of me there. And I think he won an award for. He won an award for Died Suddenly. This was actually kind of funny. They go, and the winner is Died Suddenly. And I swear to God, right on cue, this person in the front row collapses, right? They just collapsed, right? And we were like, everyone was like, what is going on?
Shit.
There's like, he's like mulling around. Like, you can see that something's going. And then Rob Dew jumps back on the stage, and he's got a microphone. And Rob was hosting the event, and he's fantastic, and he's funny too. And I think they'd been drinking a little bit beforehand too. And this guy is in the middle of some sort of medical incident, right? They had just announced Died Suddenly. And Rob is on the microphone. He goes, sir, I realize that you are in the middle of a medical incident, but I have great news for you. You are two tables away from the most outstanding doctor in the country, Dr. Peter McCullough. Everyone is like, he's standing, everyone claps. And then Peter McCullough goes over and starts working on him. And this guy had fainted. This guy had been like dehydrated. It turned out he was like on a fast and wasn't drinking enough water. He was doing it all wrong. So it wasn't that he actually dropped from the shots, but everyone in the place was like, holy shit. And then anyway, Stu came up and announced, accepted the award. But it had him kind of rattled too, because
he got on stage and he just went, see what I mean?
See, I told you.
He's vaccinated. Yeah. That was what people thought with that whole thing recently with the broadcast signal that they did, the emergency broadcast signal. They thought that was going to be like the Zoolander trigger word, right? Like, and then everybody just kind of fall out. It wasn't the case, but I actually do have a story about that, which is interesting. Please. I told David, I knew that this was happening, and me and my wife take this shit very serious. My wife got sick. She had Lyme disease. So we're very health conscious, and we try to like do as much as we can. Like, we'll turn the Wi-Fi router off at night, or our kids don't eat bullshit. Like, I don't know. I don't want to sound like the crunchy mom type, but like, we're trying our best. Like,
no, you should know. I think that's a smart thing to do, by the way. I mean, I've had plenty of people on that say, turn the Wi-Fi router off at night. And obviously, don't feed your kids garbage, right?
Yeah. We get shit from other people because it's like not normal. Like, I'm homeschooling my kids and they're like eating. Like, if you go into my pantry, it's like snacks that like I've never even heard of. They're like weird brand name snack, whatever. So I put my phone in a Faraday box because I have one of those. Shout out to Matt Rife, Rife Technology. Put it in there, and I bring my kids outside. We're sitting on the trampoline and we're laying down. And my house is under construction, so there's a couple guys in there working. And I hear something from the trees above me, like all the cicadas, which they only come out at night or make noise at night. If you're in the country, they start vibrating in unison, like. And I look at my daughter and I was like, do you hear that? And she goes, yeah, it's bees. And I'm like, it's not, I know it's not bees. And then all of a sudden I listen towards my house and my contractor's phone is going off with a signal. Like you could see it. If you could see it, it was going like this right over. And then immediately his phone starts going off. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? And we were on with Juan Ayala from One on One that day. And I told him the story and he was like, he wanted to paint me as a fear monger and all this shit. I was like, no, I'm telling you the truth. Like this doesn't, I don't see aliens. I don't see ghosts or stuff like that. I'm interested in it, but this actually happened. And I was like, that's wild.
It's like a field moving across.
Yeah. A frequency. There's no reason that it wouldn't happen. I mean, they're sending out a thick wave, a thick band with a frequency that's going to everyone's phone. Why wouldn't crickets react to it? Like we're not perceiving it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, all the animals at the 2007 Banda Aceh tsunami, when they woke up that morning, all the water was gone from the beach. They couldn't find any animals. All the animals had already gone up into the hills. They were like, we're out of here. Like they knew instinctively, like you don't stick around for this. And the bugs probably knew too. And they're probably getting, yeah, man, they're feeling something that we don't feel. I think if we, you know, you mentioned, you know, UFOs, ghosts, whatever, all this stuff. If we limit ourselves with what we can see with our eyes or hear with our ears, man, we're like practically blind and deaf. Like we hear nothing. We see nothing. Like there's a lot going on out there. I would actually pay more attention to the animals than I'd pay more attention to the animals than my neighbors.
Yeah.
Desensitized to it. Yeah. The dogs always go nuts. And there's studies coming out right now that talk about whether it's Wi-Fi or the signals from your phone or what have you, and the effect that it's having on bees and their ability to navigate, because they navigate using these, I guess, various electromagnetic fields. And so all of the stuff that we have pumping into the atmosphere is disrupting them somehow. And so cicadas, you know, I would imagine it's not going to be a big leap from a bee to a cicada. And so, yeah, it's almost like they sensed it coming and they reacted to it. And like you said, it moved like a wave all the way to homeboy's phone, which is unsettling as hell because you can't see it, but it's having some sort of an effect. It may not be turning people to zombies, but who the hell knows what it did?
Yeah, it's funny. You know Miriam Hanane, right?
No.
Miriam Hanane. Oh, she's been on, she's an alternative media journalist and she's been on our Union of the Unwanted show a bunch. And she's a badass. She's like legit. A journalist that does all kinds of, but she also directed a movie called Vanishing of the Bees that was narrated by Ellen Page back when she wasn't Elliot Page and was actually.
Dude, we're just dead naming people on the show. Jeez, dude.
Maybe.
How dare you? How dare you? Yeah, we're offensive.
In this movie, she was talking about how these pesticides were creating this confusion in the bees, and the bees couldn't find their way back to the colony, and they were just lost without it. And so there's a lot of that stuff, electromagnetic frequencies that these animals pick up on, or magnetism and things like that. And if we'd be dismissive of it, but shit, I mean,
I was going to bring up just yesterday, like, so this is what Nephilim Death Squad is about. We're always talking about like these kind of things. We're only like six episodes in, but we're always talking about it.
Trust me,
all the time. Yeah. Even before we started this show, we had Jake Angeli. He's the America Shaman, Buffalo hat dude on.
Yeah.
Fascinating guy. And we were talking about all this shit and how it ties into Nephilim shit. And it really does. Like the increase in this weird technology that's kind of like has humanity going crazy. Perhaps it's like a underlying goal of some kind of fallen angels or Nephilim beings or demonic beings that are working to how would you phrase this, David? They're working to like undermine God's plan. What do you think?
Yeah, well, there's the way I put it especially with Nephilim shit is it's like anything that's, you know, not just evil, not just paranormal, but specifically corrosive on a societal level. So if it brings the overall well-being, especially the moral well-being of society down, then I would consider it Nephilim shit. But I also think that there is some sort of, there's an intrinsic tie-in between these disembodied spirits of the Nephilim and technology. And this technology, you know, as far as the nefarious version of technology goes, it is deteriorating reality on various points, you know, whether it's the idea of the Large Hadron Collider causing sort of this Mandela effect, which I'm not even sure if Mandela effect is a genuine thing or if it's a sort of a demoralization campaign, something to kind of create this public consensus that reality is not as stable as it once seemed. But across all spectrums, the technology and the paranormal aspect, everything seems to be leading towards like a transhumanism. And what you could speculate as to whether or not all these various signals are to, you know, block your connection with God or your ability to commune with God in some different way, or your connection to Jesus or something like that. But technology and the occult and the paranormal realm seem to all go absolutely hand in hand. And it's like warfare on a, you know, we all call sort of this thing that we're engaged in spiritual warfare, and the technological aspect of it is across so many different fronts. So yeah, it's whether it's destroying the bees, thereby destroying the ecosystem, right? Wasn't there this quote from Albert Einstein? I'm going to butcher this, but it's something to the effect of like, if we should see the disappearance of the honeybee, humanity has X amount of years left on the planet.
Yeah.
So we, as a species, we know that there's an integral connectivity having to do with bees and our ecosystem. And so if you're using CERN to open portals and bring in entities, if you're using electromagnetic waves to disrupt bees and destroy the ecosystem, all of that is Nephilim shit in my book. It's a catch-all term.
Well, there's also not just the CERN opening portals. You've got Jordy Rose, the CEO and founder of D-Wave that makes quantum computers, talking about how they were opening up parallel dimensions and dragging information back into ours. And you're like, information from who?
Don't worry.
He's
about
like,
it.
Well, you know, we're talking to things in other dimensions and we're getting this information. And elaborate, dude. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Who are you?
It's weird because they'll tell you, but they'll keep it vague. Like they'll say, like it's like CERN will say, oh, you know, we're either going to expose the Higgs boson particle, or we're going to open up a small black hole. They go, wait, what? But, and they just kind of leave it at that. Oh, don't worry about it, dude. It's science. They're like, what? Yeah. Science?
It's like, leave me alone for a few seance. Minutes. I got to do this this mock child sacrifice to Shiva. So I'll be back.
I was
back
just gonna say. Definitely don't watch the opening ceremonies for CERN, because there's nothing going on there. And he has like a 2-hour ceremony. I think it cost him like $10 million to put it all on. You watch it and you're like, are you going to sacrifice somebody during this opening ceremony? I was fully expecting
that's just
to
the part
that.
They don't record. Yeah, they just don't record that.
What's going on in the back room? Yeah,
right. So as long as they're harvesting that energy from it, you know, it doesn't matter if they get it on camera, the energy's still there.
Yeah. We're actually going to have I've yet to schedule him, but Nick Hinton, do you know who that is?
I do. Okay, I don't know him, but I know who he is. Yep.
All right. Well, I've got his phone number and he's very hard to schedule, but we're going to get him on because I'm interested to hear what he has to say about, he's probably tired of talking about it at this point, but he was one of those randonaut people. Like they have some kind of quantum computing machine where it would spit out geographic locations and all throughout the world, if you're close to it, they'd be like, yo, go over here and see what's going on. Because we got these coordinates and people would do that. And I think they had to
shut
it down.
Are you familiar with that, Charlie?
No. I mean, I've never heard of that before. That's, I mean,
it's called, it's Randonautica, I believe is the thing. And it's interesting. It's an app. What's symbol is an owl, interestingly enough. And, you know, that symbol gets dragged around everywhere. And yeah, so basically you would put in a prompt, you know, what are you looking for? I'm looking for, you know, spiritual ascension, whatever the hell you're looking for. I'm looking for cheeseburgers, but it won't send you to, you know, Wendy's. It'll send you to a randomly generated set of coordinates that are generated by, like Top said, a quantum computer. And then it just says, go there. And people will have these really outlandish experiences. Sometimes it's a, you know, to go back to the burger, it's a nothing burger, but other times it's a profound experience. I did it one time. And it brought me to the end of, I don't remember what my prompt was, but it brought me to the end of a long driveway. And at the end of the driveway was this really old decrepit house. And I just said, well, that's enough Randonautica for me. I'm not going to be doing that. Yeah, it was like a farm. And I'm like, I'm not going to go and find out. I'm not going to knock on this dude's door and go, what do you got for me, dog? But it's yeah, like, it's a lot of experiences have been generated from this quantum computer. And a lot of people, you know, count them as significant.
Well, it's a Ouija board sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Remote viewing, where they give you these coordinate, these random numbers that don't necessarily mean anything, but they're infused with some sort of energy or whatever that these people can pick up on. Yeah, I don't know that I would have gone into that house either. I've seen Pulp Fiction. I know how that. Yeah. You wind up down in the basement.
It was giving me big
somewhere.
Pulp vibes. Right. You know, I always say that when it comes to this stuff, are you guys familiar with the whole Lamb and Aleister Crowley, the sort of big-headed entity that Aleister Crowley communed with, right? So it's this image that he drew up.
Bit.
It looks like your stereotypical alien gray, right? So Aleister Crowley allegedly communed with this thing. And I believe he did it in one of the pyramids in Egypt. And then you have the connection of Jack Parsons, who was an avid follower of Crowley, who goes out. He's the father of modern day jet propulsion, the same jet propulsion technology that NASA uses to this day. And NASA, of course, is riddled with all sorts of weird occult crap. But Jack Parsons, literal rocket scientist, right? In the deserts of, I believe, New Mexico or something like that, with L. Ron Hubbard, using Aleister Crowley's Babylon Works to try to summon into this realm something called the Moonchild. And I say all that just to say that you will always find this connection of Aleister Crowley, right? So we have the occult. We have Lamb, who's the sort of almost the modern day depiction of a alien gray. So you've got the paranormal there. And then you have Jack Parsons, father of modern day jet propulsion technology. So you have technology. These things, occult, paranormal, and technology, sort of create this unholy trinity. And it's been perpetuating forever. You will always find, you know, like we just said, CERN and their bizarre rituals that they open their, you know, their procedures with, whatever it is that they're doing out there with Shiva and the giant ring and the ceremonies that they hold. There is an intrinsic tie between the paranormal, the occult, and technology.
Well, yeah, if you told somebody even 20 years ago, like, I was going to talk to you, Charlie, like, I'm using this computer here, it's not connected to anything, and there's just invisible waves floating from my house to wherever the fuck you guys are at, and we're just going to talk with very little latency and pretty high quality, you'd be like, this is magic. It's not magic, it's technology. So all the shit that, like, you know, maybe I think even the stuff that Jesus was doing, this is just magic that we don't understand. These things, like whatever is going on, it may be alchemy. I don't even know. It's magic and it's Nephilim shit. It's the when the fallen came down and they took the daughters of men, they didn't take them. They took them as wives. But that there was a trade. There was a trade. Like Timothy Alberino talks about this. There was a trade in order to wed someone. So it's like, if I want to marry your daughter, I'll give you a goat. Or whatever, I have this to offer you. You give me daughter, and then we pass that. We pass down the lineage. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they were offered technology. What kind of technology did they have back then? Probably better shit than we had now. They were building pyramids and doing God knows what else.
Yeah.
So yeah, this has really got us on this track here.
I've been inside the Great Pyramid before, like in up the staircase and into the Queen's Chamber and all that stuff. Like back in the,
really?
I don't know if they let you do that anymore, but that was a long time. That was 1989 when I did that. But
no, they don't let anybody have fun anymore.
I would imagine not. But I went in there and it's the whole place. Like the hair on your arms kind of stands up. It's just you just feel like you're in. I don't know. You feel like you're in like a make-believe place. You come out and look, it's this gigantic pyramid. And I don't know, man. I think that it's easy for us to be dismissive of this stuff like energy and sound waves and everything. And people say, well, how did you build the pyramids? Oh, they had 10,000 slaves that were dragging these rocks, these stones up. I'm sorry.
Boy, these stones are so heavy. Come on, guys. Let's get fucking real. Something. So you said you felt energy in there, like the your hair stood up on your arm.
Well, I was creeped out. I mean, I felt like it was. I mean, I felt really tiny in comparison to this big monument. And of course, you know, all the history surrounding it. You want to feel insignificant. Go sit on the pyramid. You know, you're like, go sit on the first step of it, which I've done. You go, well, I don't matter. You know, like I'm a speck of sand compared to all of this stuff, you know, and that the history of it. And you wonder like how much of this is true and how much of this is Zahi Hawass, who's protecting this information as the Egyptian head of antiquity, you know, who says, well, no, you know, Graham Hancock's crazy. This is all bullshit. You know, there was no rain here. And you go, what are you protecting? Like, what kind of grift is this? Like, why are you so defensive about this? They're like, let's talk about the reality. Like, slaves didn't build that thing, man. Like, you would have to have some sort of technology that gets those stones up, because that thing, it's not like you go, you know how you see places and you go, oh, it's smaller than I thought it was in pictures. No, it is bigger than you think it is in pictures. It is every bit the size of like a 100-story building. It is massive. And as big as like 5 city blocks. It's huge. And so I don't know, man, I am all ears when it comes to like, there's different technology out there that we used to have. And you see these architectural masterpieces that were made and you're like, oh, this is from the 1740s. And you're like, how did you guys build this? You couldn't, if I gave you $1 billion, you couldn't build this right now. How do you know, Charlie?
One of the things that I always dismiss the moon landing with was that guy, Dom Pettit. He's like, we build it, but you know, we deleted all the information and it would be a painful process to rebuild it. And I'm like, now that, like, if you really think about this kind of stuff, it's like, maybe, but no, we definitely didn't go there, but it's right. You see how like it's possible we could have lost this information. We've done it before.
Yeah.
We lost something after cataclysm.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. So
sometimes I wonder if you look at sort of the role that the gods played, and I always say like gods with like lower G, like I believe, or lowercase G, I believe that those entities actually did exist, whether you're talking about the Egyptian deities or the Greek gods. I think they were more than likely the fallen, and they were just given different names by different people. You know, there's depictions that you can find of Baal, and I believe that Baal is listed in the Book of Enoch as one of the angels that were cast out of heaven. And you can find depictions of him holding like this short staff with 3 prongs on either side, a very short one, not like a full length one, like something that was only, I don't know, yay wide, like a foot and a half, 2 feet. And you can find the same image of Zeus. Baal was actually called the King of Storms. And of course, Zeus being the god of thunder is depicted as holding the same object. And then you think about Thor and things like that through Norse mythology. I believe these are probably the same beings, but one of the things that these beings are always allegedly doing is they're bringing to the people various technologies in a rudimentary form, right? We're talking about agriculture or, you know, weapons, things of that nature. I think, and I don't believe this, but it's something that I play along with and I go, that's really interesting. It's kind of like a sexy idea, right? It's like, what if the goal is portals and stargates, right? What if the goal is CERN and things like that? We want to open dimensional doors. We want to be able to bring in these entities from wherever they're maybe trapped. Maybe after the flood, their spirits didn't go where everyone else's goes. They're just trapped in another realm, right? And so in order to get them into this realm, you need to create a technology. But you can't just give simple hunter-gatherer people this technology right off the bat. In fact, you can't give them it at all. You have to instruct them on how to build it. But in order to instruct a people on how to build a large Hadron Collider or a Stargate, well, you first need to instruct them on how to do plumbing, how to do agriculture, how to raise livestock. You know what I mean? And so has this entire thing for so long since they've been wiped out by the flood been this slow boil to get us to the point where we can finally start to create things like CERN or like Oak Ridge to try to bring these entities back into this realm? That's how schizo I go. That's where I like to entertain those
ideas.
You're 100%
those are fun right. ideas. You're 100% right, man. And it's even more than that. It's they can probably do this shit themselves and, you know, manifest themselves right now into reality. But I feel like it's a hermetic principle where you have like a vampire thing. You've got to do it. You've got to invite them in. And we're constantly inviting them in. At least our elite, our leadership is constantly opening that door.
Did you see the article from the New York Times today or the New York Post, one of the two, I didn't read the whole thing. I just reposted it as Nephilim shit. and so if you guys go to my Twitter, but it's like they're talking about Ouija boards and how cool it's a whole article written about Ouija boards and how to get into them, how to use them. It was an instructional based article. And it's like, yeah, you're right. We're constantly, as a society, we are inviting them in various different ways, whether it's AI. Like I'm talking to Bing all the time. I'm like, Bing, generate me some wild image. And I'm not talking to Bing. I'm talking to like the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. And they're like, I got you, dog. Here's an image of a, you know, a lobster and a raven.
Give me 30 seconds. I can pull this up real quick.
Yeah. Listen, man, I am open to all of this. By the way, my grandfather worked at Oak Ridge. During World War II. Didn't know what they were doing, though. they didn't know what they were doing. He came into work one day and everything was gone. And they were like, congratulations, boys, you won the war. And he was not thrilled about that. He didn't know. You talk about compartmentalization and not knowing what you're doing and everything. He worked in the electric, at this hydroelectric power plant industry, and they sort of nationalized all that during the war. And they were like, now you work for us. So he was working on stuff and came in one day and nobody knew. It's like, everything's gone. Like, you were building the bomb. Like, he didn't know, you know, his job was to make this thing go, you know, uranium go this direction or something. I don't know. But
wow, incredible.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, maybe we don't really understand. We definitely don't understand the plan. And then I watched a movie like Contact, which is based on the book by Carl Sagan. And there's a point in there, you know, they're told to build this portal, or they're told to build something. They don't even really know what they're building, but they're given these weird instructions and they have to build this thing, and they eventually do, and sends Jodie Foster through it, and nobody believes that she went anywhere because it happened and it was like 17 hours of dead airtime that she's recording, and in their video she just drops right through into a net. And I don't know, for those of you that have seen the movie, it's a great movie. It's a trippy movie. I think it's a deeper movie than, like, you know, just,
I gotta check it out. Well,
what did Jake say on the episode last night? He said, soft disclosure, right? Yeah. So whether it's revelation of the method or predictive programming or any of these things or soft disclosure, it's like, man, they sure love to just show us through Hollywood what it is they're going to do. And I don't know if that frees them of some sort of, you know, karmic guilt, you know, yeah, where they're no longer beholden to the negative aspects of the crimes that they commit against us. If we're too, like,
we told you how we do it and you still fell for it. So it's your fault. It's psychotic, but that's what they do. Mm-hmm.
But also, if they've got this great technology that's, say, 100 years ahead of us and they're sitting on it and they're dying to use it, they have to at least get some of the technology out into the public so that when they start using it, you know, it's not too far ahead. They're not 100 years ahead anymore. Now they're only 40 years ahead. God knows what they've got, what they're doing to us.
Owen last night kind of pontificated on them reaching their end game, because you're right. As it, like, you know, as they're catching up to what they really want to do, I feel like they're moving a little too fast, like how they did with the COVID and the V and all this stuff. Are you on YouTube? I could say that.
No, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. Nice. Like COVID and the vaccine, and they kind of, like, they pushed the vaccine way too fast and it kind of accelerated things right into a wall. And now everybody knows that it's bullshit, and it's what they're doing with everything now. They're kind of just like, they're just, it's a fantasy to them, and they're going way too fast and they can't help themselves. Who are they? Let's just say Nephilim. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all Nephilim shit. But I think there is something too that I've heard theories where it was like, you know, for better or for worse, Trump getting into office and then becoming the father of the vaccine, things of that nature, right? And Operation Warp Speed, was it, that was associated with rolling out the vaccination real fast? Mm-hmm. One of the things that they think really got screwed up by that is the vaccine passports. It all happened so fast that, you know, maybe the vaccinations were the first things, and maybe a lot of us fell for that. But by the time the concept of vaccine passports hit us, a lot of people were digging their feet in and going, no, that's not happening. And so, you know, maybe it was a good thing for, if this was inevitable, for it to have happened so quickly, because it really did, it shocked a lot of people to their core. And so I think because of that, that vaccine passport thing died in the water, man. And thank goodness for that.
I feel like they're on an accelerated timeline, like this 2030 benchmark that they've got. Somebody's like, come on, guys, you're behind schedule. Hurry this up. And if you hurry people up that are on a schedule, then you put them in a position where they make mistakes. And I think that they thought, oh, we'll just say everybody take the vaccine and then everyone will line up in a single file line, 6 feet away from each other, of course, standing on the correct dot, and they'll just do it. And then when that didn't happen, they're like, in my mind, I envision like a big boardroom discussion where they call everybody in. And at the end of the meeting, the guy in charge just slams his fist down and says, I don't give a fuck if you have to give them lottery tickets, donuts, and laps around Talladega. Just get them injected, and walked out the door. And then everyone goes, I guess we're doing lottery tickets in Talladega, because it was such a dumb idea. that you, you go, this so can't
hilarious.
Be plan A. This has got to be like plan C, right? This if
right.
If donuts is your, you're like, I got an idea. We're going to give them donuts, you know, to incentivize them
a beer?
To improve their health. We're going to give them, you know, free lap dances. But Bill de Blasio wants to give you, wants you to have a cheeseburger with him. You're like, this is not.
And then the way he eats the cheeseburger too with his fucking drummy fingers, he's like, I got a cheeseburger. He has
that
like,
guy is Christ, Nephilim, dude. Maybe.
For real. Well,
it's not just speeding up
wait,
the timeline.
David, do you remember? I'm sorry. You just reminded me.
Go ahead.
You remember when Joe Biden's hand disappeared through the microphone?
Yeah. Where they just like really started, what's the expression? They really started calling it in. You know what I mean? Like they're not even trying anymore. Well, it's the same thing when you see those people in the space station and their fucking heads disappear, you know, through the CG and everything.
What if his hands are holograms? What if the microphone wasn't the hologram? His hand, what if all their hands are? Because they got six fingers. I don't know. That's something I'm going to think about. Dude. Put a pin in that.
Yeah. Related. I think there is something to that. That's why they got these rubber masks on and everything. They're just six-fingered lizard Nephilim.
What was going on with his chin?
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck is going on anymore, man. It's just so much. I've suspended all belief. I'm just laughing at everything. I'm just doing whatever.
I love it. I love it. I love it that they don't even have the budget to bring in the varsity team for this stuff. It's just, they're like, this guy says he's good with masks. We're like, well, it is the president of the United States. Just make sure that, you know, we don't have any sort of defections, you know, like his chin exploding with, and how great was that with Blinken kind of over his shoulder, peering out like a weirdo. The whole thing is just, I feel like I'm on drugs watching the Biden administration.
It's kind of amazing. I'll dip my feet into the political realm, because if you zoom in on politics, you can kind of, it's almost like putting blinders in, and it's almost like going, everything's okay. Look, it's just political corruption and let's call it out for what it is. But as soon as you pull out and get those blinders off, you start seeing a bunch of weird shit everywhere. And then you start to realize like none of this is real. This is all some sort of song and dance, some sort of movie, you know, and for some people, I think when you see people really shouting about the politics, and it's one thing to get involved and to give a damn about what's happening on the world stage, and I understand that, but some people are so immersed in it, and they're not looking at the occult, they're not looking at the paranormal, they're not looking at anything else strange, they're just focused on politics, and it's like, maybe it's comforting. Maybe for a moment, if you only look at that aspect of it, you can kind of trick yourself into believing that shit's not falling apart rapidly and that we're not inundated with the most bizarre crap that any other generation has ever been exposed to in the history of mankind. Like rapid fire, back to back to back to back. The propaganda machine is just dicking us down left and right. And looking at politics really closely kind of helps.
I used to be really involved in politics and I've almost completely pulled out. Now, whenever I go back into politics, like, so in the beginning of this show here, I was going to tell you what I did recently. It's just to obfuscate and really create disinformation. I don't give a fuck anymore, Charlie. You have no idea. Yeah. I don't care. So a couple of months ago, I was in Jamaica. I texted my mom, how are the kids doing? And it's Easter. And she's like, oh, they love Jesus so much. Look at what they're doing. And they're fake crucifying themselves against a wall. So I was like, this is a nightmare. So we're on Tower Gang and we're talking about the latest Israel Palestine thing. And I was like, we can't keep falling for the misinformation. We have to start making the misinformation. So we like, it's awful. We brainstormed an idea and all of us did this. So it was like Jose, Clint, me, Cole. And I showed them this picture. They all laughed and they're like, that's it. I was like,
can I show the picture top? I have it pulled up here. I have it on my phone, but I just want to show it to Charlie.
Yeah. That's the picture.
Are we allowed to? Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a regular one. Yeah. Okay. So this is my kid. So I just put some MS Paint, like fake blood spray on the back. I left the fucking outlet, the American outlet, and I just put it up and I changed the Tower Gang to, is a picture of me like this. And it's a Jewish flag behind me or Israeli flag. And I just, Clint writes something like New York Times reported that Palestinians are now crucifying Jewish children. Wow. What a travesty or something like this. And just send tweet. Whatever. 2 million impressions later, it got community noted three different times. Exactly. I don't care anymore. This is what they deserve. The people deserve this shit. They really do. Like they just went in there ready to argue.
It was amazing to see that. Like to sit back as a fan. I'm a fan of Tower Gang. I'm in there every night in the chats. I'm watching you guys, you know, spitball this idea. Until it hits this level of like kind of mad genius shit. And then I watch it unfold on Twitter. And then exactly I watch how it hit 2 million. Unbelievable. The clamoring that people engage in when it comes to just eating up propaganda and jumping to conclusions is insane. And a masterful exposure of that. It really was. It was so amazing to watch.
You know, the Washington Post pays good money to hire people to come up with very catchy things. And yet they miss the mark. What they really should do is hire a bunch of autists like you guys and just say, do whatever the fuck you want. Just do whatever you want. I understand.
I'll take your
food money. Yeah. You guys are going to make it. It's going to be weird in it, but it's going to be memorable. And that's kind of the point. And I love that stuff. I'll tell you, I'm trying really hard to like stay on like team humanity, but I look around and I go like, you guys got to help yourselves too. Like you can't be this fucking stupid. You can't fall for all these things. You can't, you know, like I want to say like, hey, the vaccines are super dangerous and look at the history of it. And it was like, but if you're lining up for your fourth shot and you're going the one direction down a grocery store aisle because it says so, like you need to take responsibility for your own life too. Like you need to have a look in the mirror and go like, what am I doing? Like this is, am I going to fall for every single, am I going to do everything that I'm told? So like on the one hand, I hate these bastards that are running things and they're evil and they deserve no respect. And I hope that they, you know, pay for their crimes. But on the other hand, like, I'm not letting the general public off the hook either. Like they have a responsibility in this too, to like wake up, man, like pay attention, use your brain, stop getting fooled. Like you almost kind of deserve it. And I love, you guys know how to troll. Fuck. I mean, you're so good at it, Top, that like you got Elon Musk following you, retweeting you, talking about you, asking questions. How is that budding bromance going with one of the weirdest guys in the world?
Oh, he doesn't follow me. And he doesn't follow me. Just want to clarify that. Smart move by him. He responded to me. I just said, which way Western men? And it was a picture of Joe Biden. Oh, I said, you could hate the Jays or you could do adrenochrome. It's a picture of Sleepy Joe sleeping. And then, or do adrenochrome. No, hate the Jays would be Mel Gibson, all jacked, and do adrenochrome was Joe Biden sleeping. And he, for some reason, answered it. And he's like, wow, Mel Gibson's really buff these days, huh? And it's like, I've thought about it a long time. I was like, either Elon Musk is gay and he's really looking at buff Mel Gibson, or he's playing along with this whole thing. Either way, he had to delete that tweet and he has to act like he doesn't know who I am. He knows who I am because I've been giving him hell. Like I know that they've seen what I did to his CEO. They actually suspended my account before that tweet. I said, we should launch. He said, we're going to do a Twitter Spaces with Linda Yaccarino. And I said, you should launch her into space. And it went viral.
Reasonable.
And then I got my, I mean, it's fair. And I got my account suspended for like violent speech. And I appealed it. And Tim Cass actually came and wrote articles and shit, got my account back.
Yep.
So after that, I think I was on his radar. Then they started to write articles about blood libel, anti-Semitism, him boosting these awful QAnon conspiracy accounts because I'm talking about adrenochrome, of course. Right. So he has to act like he doesn't know me, but I feel like he knows what's up. He's playing a game. Maybe it's hard to tell with the guy.
To be fair, he wants to be your friend. Like he really wants to be your friend. Like he's so mad about it. Like he looks at you and he's like, God, this is a cool guy.
No, he sits at the nerdy table for lunch in high school, but he looks at the cool kids and he desperately wants to be there. Now he's the rich kid, but he can't be the cool kid. He can't buy that. But to be fair, I looked at that picture of Mel Gibson. I was like, damn, he is kind of jacked. I mean, he was like, he had that big shoulder vein that was popping out and everything. And he looks like $1 million. And Joe Biden definitely looks like shit. So it wasn't totally unreasonable to
the best
to point
part of that
out.
Tweet was the community notes. You would think that they'd say, listen, Joe Biden doesn't do adrenochrome. Come on, this is crazy. This is a conspiracy theory. They were like, actually, that picture of Mel Gibson was from a decade ago when he was in the Expendables. It's not recent. And that's the community. That's what they like, incredible. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, yeah. That's great, though, too. I got thrown off of Twitter back on my way back from Acapulco in the airport. I was checking my Twitter account. It just got deleted. On the way back from Acapulco, I tweeted something that said, when are we going to throw Bill Gates into a volcano? And that was pre-COVID. And I was obviously, I mean, I was kidding, wink, wink, but I'm not opposed to it, but I wasn't actually planning it.
There was no call to action.
There really was no call to action. I was just kind of speculating when is the community going to finally take things into their own hands? And by the time I got to like my first stop on the plane, right, I was like trying to get on my phone on Twitter. I'm like, damn, what's happened? And
it's a bad feeling.
My account was completely deleted. That was 2019. And so, or 2020. So I had to start all over again. But, I like to think that that Elon Musk would actually probably retweet that because he's no fan of Bill Gates.
You know what's really funny? So after I got my account back from getting suspended, now I'm talking to, I forget her name. She was like the head of safety at Twitter. She recently quit. But I got her attention because Josie was like retweeting at this lady and we all had like bigger followings in them so we can kind of like bully them into seeing what I'm saying. And she responded back to me because I was like, this was unfair that you guys suspended me for this many days for no reason and a whole thing. And she was like, no, you know, we don't take it very serious. Like we didn't suspend you for that. It was clearly they did. And I was like, you guys act like I had the tools to launch her into space. I don't have a spaceship. And then she goes, yeah, no, we know it's all in jest. And I said, but if I did have a spaceship, I would probably do it. And I sent the tweet and I was like, it's basically like, fuck you. I dare you. I dare you to suspend me again. Cause I don't care anymore. And yeah, it's just whatever, man. Just people tell the truth, double down, always double down.
I need you to care just enough to keep your Twitter account going though, because I appreciate it. Like I do it for the people out there. It's so great. And you know, Twitter is a place that you shouldn't ever really take yourself too seriously on there. But a lot of people do, and a lot of people don't have the ability for like self-reflection and they don't understand when something's like there's a lot of funny shit on there too. And there's a lot of people being super mean. But it's funny. It's like, you know, on the one hand, like you set yourself, you know, these people will say something so dumb and then here comes the comments and the comments are vicious, but the comments are predicated on the dumb thing that the person said in the first place. It's like, if you weren't saying stupid shit on Twitter, that you wouldn't get, you know, Top wouldn't have to come in and like and embarrass you in front of the world, but you are. And so that's what's happening. And I need that in my life. So for fuck's sake, please don't get yourself.
It's a libertarian, it's a market correction. It's libertarianism 101. It's like, there's the response to your bad action and it's perfect. It's always perfect in the end.
So we're bringing back accountability. Right. Yeah. And I have seen nothing wrong with that. Right. Even online, you say something stupid online and a million people call you out for it. That's what you get. Right. So I don't care.
One tweet at a time. You know, I'm doing my part.
It's great to see Twitter or X or whatever kind of be resurrected from the ashes when Elon took it over, because I was starting to get a little dystopian. I started to believe that there was no place for accountability anymore, that if anybody said anything stupid, you simply couldn't draw attention to that, because no matter what platform you were on, you were going to be deplatformed if you tried to draw attention to it. And so, yeah, it's nice to have X back for as long as it lasts, you know, before they pull the rug out from under our feet again, which I'm sure is coming. But for now, it's fun.
And what a travesty to humanity. Like the old owners of Twitter were like, just the person that comes to mind, Owen Benjamin, who we spoke to yesterday, he was banned off of that and everything else. And the guy is just a fucking genius. Like when you talk to him or when you read his tweets, you can see the level that he's thinking at. And it's like, he might actually be a Nephilim. Like his brain is probably way bigger than ours. He's thinking fast. And they took his ability to speak away. It's like, what's wrong with you guys?
He's a threat. He's a legitimate threat because he's smart. You know, and I know a lot of people are like, well, he talks about crazy shit. He talks about all kinds of things, right? And I don't know him. I've never met him, but and he likes to get into it too. But there's a level of like, first of all, you can tell he's got a good sense of humor. He's a fucking comedian, right? Mm. So, but there's also this. There's this knowledge, and I feel like it battles with each other. Like, I've got all this information in my head. I got to try and make it funny. It's going to piss some people off, but I like, I don't know. I like his approach to it, which is we're just going to keep talking. We're just going to keep talking about the things that make people uncomfortable. And if you have a problem with it, that's your problem, not an Owen Benjamin problem. Right. I mean, and that's kind of how you guys are too with Tower Gaming. Like, you guys say crazy shit. Right. And you talk about all kinds of really polarizing topics and people, how dare you? And like, how dare
leave. Just fucking leave. Nobody's forcing you to be here. If you don't want to listen to this or watch it or you know, like, get out of here. Like, what happened to accountability within society? Oh, my feelings are hurt. I had somebody committed a microaggression against me. Too bad. Not my problem.
There's a point of diminishing returns even with empathy. You know, even with empathy and sympathy, there's a point of diminishing returns. People try to be kind and consider everybody's feelings, and look where it got us.
Exactly. You made me. Every time I look at where I'm at, my family members, like, some of my family members follow my Twitter now, and I see them, like, they're using their full name. I was like, oh my God, I called them. I said, how did you find me? He's like, how did I find you? I'm seeing the shit you're saying. Like, I can't believe that you're saying this, because not that, like, I'm not like a controversial person, but I was like, I had no reason to really, like, step out and start to, like, really do this shit until you made me. You know, I never really changed. But the world is now telling me that how I am is unacceptable. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to turn how I am up to 20 and see how you like it. And when you yell at me and tell me to stop, I'm just going to say no. And then you cry more and I keep going and I go harder and harder. And
that line from Batman where it's like, Top's not the hero we want, but he's the hero we need right now.
Yeah. talking about removing women's rights to vote and only landowners should be allowed to vote and things like that.
White people are like,
what's that?
They lose their shit. There's white landowners and white, like, Puerto Rican and people lose their shit. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Say, I know it'll get you mad, but there is a point to it. There is, right? Like, I mean, having stake, having equity in this country, really, if you do want to have some kind of democratic system, then I mean, let's do it like that, where, you know, at least someone owns something and then we could decide that way, not people just renting and kind of passing through. I don't want to get into it right now.
I know. But it's funny that you push buttons on these people and they freak out, and then you retweet them. It's like meme them till they're crying and then meme them while they're crying, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just hit them.
That's a Pete Quinones. Meme them till they cry and then push them to self-harm. That's very mean. One of the things I did, I just thought of it. I woke up, or I don't even know, I was walking around and I crafted this tweet in my brain, and I stopped. I was pushing my kids in the carriage. I stopped, I tweeted, and I sent it. It said something like, trans people shouldn't own guns. Very specific, but that's it. And it went viral too. And people were losing their shit. Libertarians were losing their minds. Trans people were all attacking me. And it's just so great because I've completely, like, broken the minds of all these people. It's just an opinion. And they're like, oh, you want to kill us? I said, no, I didn't say that. And then the libertarians are like, oh, you want to steal their guns? I'm like, I didn't say that either. I'm just saying shouldn't. In my opinion, shouldn't. Perhaps we should have this conversation. And no one wants to have the conversation. Just really interesting to really touch these buttons on society.
53% of trans people have considered suicide.
Yeah. Mm. And it was 40 a couple of years ago. Well, yeah. No, I think 40 was those numbers, rate.
I believe those numbers are consistent too. It's like post-op to pre-op, that number remains the same. There's no improvement in the percentage of people that are considering suicide. It's not like the operation is suddenly the solution to the problem.
Right.
Those numbers remain the same afterwards. And so, you know, then it's a different uncomfortable conversation. Is it, you know, you're a soul trapped in the wrong body, or maybe there's just something else wrong?
Yeah. It's Nephilim shit. It's, again, it all comes back to it. It's like, it's the post-human, trans-human agenda where we're trying to, like, well, you're mutilating children, but you're also, like, stopping reproduction. You're also changing fundamentally what a human being is that is created in the image of God. So it's like,
right,
why are we pushing this so readily? Why is it everywhere? It's like, well, you know, we could argue the politics and say Democrats, Republicans, or we could just say it's Nephilim shit. And really, it's kind of what it is.
The World Economic Forum's push for a fourth industrial revolution. They say, well, what is the fourth industrial revolution? It's transhumanism. And you go, mm-hmm. Okay, well, transhumanism is that when I lose my limb and they put a prosthetic leg on, you're like, no, not really. It's more brain chips and mm-hmm. and the like. And you go, oh, so I'll be superhuman. And you go, well, if you look at Julian Huxley, brother of Aldous Huxley, who ran the British Eugenics Society for decades, realized that they were having a problem because eugenics had this bad reputation, you know, because it's murdering people. So they said, we need to change, we need a branding, rebranding. And so they changed the term eugenics to transhumanism. And so really what we are experiencing with the World Economic Forum is a push towards eugenics disguised as transhumanism. And now you've got the trans community. I feel like they're making them one deviation less human. And at some point, when you are you're a genetically modified tomato at this point, right? You can be bought and sold and, you know, thrown away and patented and whatever, right? So at some point, does society say, all of you people who have all these mRNA vaccines in your body and you've taken a brain chip and everything, you are now no longer technically human and therefore legally no longer human, and now we can enslave you.
100% right. One of the things that we were talking about on Nephilim Death Squad that I keep bringing up, it's like the idea of bloodlines and how important that is from, like, you know, from the biblical days all the way up until now. A lot of our elites kind of do maintain these bloodlines, or even like certain communities, they want to keep their bloodline pure. And at the same time, they're telling us that, you know, diversity is your strength. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. You know, keep on. I'm not saying don't like marry that black guy. What I'm saying is we should at least think about like what they're telling us. Don't fall for this propaganda so readily and do something that someone else is making you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. What is special about us as people? Is it blood? Like, what is going on? There's a lot of mysteries and people have given zero thought to it.
And it makes you wonder too, a lot of these elite families, it's like, name a couple of the entities that they worship, right? If we're talking Moloch or the Baphomet, right? A gender inverted sort of hermaphrodite animal. It's like everything that they're doing is an inversion of God's creation, but an homage to the entities that they worship, or the deities that they worship, or the gods with lowercase g's that they worship.
Yeah. This is some Nephilim shit, man. I mean, if they can get it, and again, like, to me, like, what is your bloodline? Like, I don't know, but to them it matters. Like, they are super concerned about the bloodline, the royal line, the Merovingian bloodline, and this and that. And you go, oh, we got to find the right person to marry Prince Charles. We got to find Diana Spencer. We got to make sure she comes from the right bloodline, and then, you know, murder her. Or whatever, you know, at some point. I'm on this Diana kick because I was just in Vegas last week and we went through the Princess Diana Museum. You have never seen a human man bite his tongue for as long as I did in that, during walking through that. I was just like, oh, I just want to fucking, you know, it's like, here's a letter from Lord Mountbatten congratulating her on their marriage. I was like, she fucking. Mm-hmm.
I need to look more into it.
I'm there with my mom and my wife. I'm like, I'm not gonna say it.
That's very much like when Netflix does a documentary on whatever the thing is. You know, anytime Netflix comes out with a documentary, I'm vehemently opposed to. It's just a propaganda machine. It's like the Epstein documentary. Remember when that came out on Netflix and it was all about what's homegirl's name? Ghislaine Maxwell or Ghislaine Maxwell, and they kind of painted Maxwell as this, you know, unfortunate victim of the mastermind that was Jeffrey Epstein, and that all of this was Jeffrey Epstein's master plan, and he was the, you know, he started it all. He was the machine that was behind it, and, you know, she was almost a damsel. You know what I mean? And there's no shortage of this kind of crap. It's like we get this homogenized, sterilized version of history in real time, nonetheless. You know, thanks to the propaganda machine, and I say it ad nauseum almost every episode that I do of either Nephilim Death Squad or the Raven's Watch, is like, we are being subjected to the most sophisticated propaganda machine in the history of mankind. Never has there been a generation before that's been subjected to such an advanced machine. And, you know, I think that sometimes we got to take a breather from this shit and pat ourselves on the back, because we're not falling for it, or at least, you know, the people that are having this conversation right now aren't falling for it. And that's a lot more than you could say. If you plucked a man out of the 1930s and dropped him into today, he'd have a stroke immediately because he got vaccinated. And it was like, you know, all of it is just, the inundation is nonstop from every which way. Like I said, it's happening so much faster than it used to. I remember the news cycle used to be like an event, and then 2 weeks later, that event was gone and a new one replaced it. Now that cycle, it's shortened to like 2 days. Yeah, every 2 days, there's a new thing. Somebody just shot up Maine or something like that. I haven't even looked at it yet.
Yeah, I don't worry. Even care. And exactly, it's so bad because. But my dad told me this morning, he's like, oh, there was an active shooter in somewhere. And I was like, okay, left the house.
Is it down the street from my house? Because if it's not down the street from my house, I'm not worried about it. By the way, down the street from my house is Columbine.
Oh, shit. I thought you were going to say is an active shooter right now, right down the street from my house.
Yeah. Well, I'm about 25 years too late, but you know, that's where it was. Yeah. Look, the fact that we know anything is amazing. We're up against the most, you know, the highest level intelligence agencies that are disinformation experts. We've got our communications, all of the media that we're fed is run through some sort of weird filter where we don't get to choose what we watch. We get it fed to us. And it's amazing that we are able to figure out and navigate this system at all. And when we get things wrong, and of course we do from time to time, like I feel like I don't try to beat myself up too much about it. I just try to not fall into the trap again. But and same like with all the Q people, they were like, I can't believe I fell for it. It's like, don't beat yourself up too bad, man. Like everybody falls into these traps at some point. Like it's very enticing. They told you all the things you wanted to hear. It sounded good. The only problem, one of the problems is that the final step in that was like, go stand in the corner and wait for the, wait till we tell you to activate, like trust the plan and wait. Well, it's like, whenever they tell you to wait, that ain't good.
Yeah. What is it? Patriots are in control. Somebody else has got it. I just did an episode with, Chaney in Wonderland. She's awesome. I definitely recommend people check it. I love her. Yep. And we revisited 2019 and it's like, no, you can't blame people for getting wrapped up in QAnon between the Ellen DeGeneres ankle monitor crap and the spirit cooking and Marina Abramovic and Tom Hanks and Isaac Cappy. And we were like inundated with some of the most psychotic crap that anybody had. It was like for a second, somebody just pulled back the curtain real quick. And we were like, like it was nuts. I remember for a long time, I was one of those guys that would try to wake up my friends, right? And that's like a fool's errand. It really is. Yeah. But when QAnon was happening, I was like, this is the most glaringly obvious shit I've ever seen. And so I was grabbing my friends by the cheeks and being like, look at this shit. And they didn't want to look at it at all. And nobody really wanted to look at it because it was horrifying. Hillary Clinton and, wearing children's faces and all this stuff that was going on.
Right.
It was, you can't blame people for falling for that because we were, they pulled the curtain back and they showed us horrific shit for a brief moment in time. And man, I mean, that was a whirlwind. And one of the things that Chaney said, and she's absolutely right about this, is like, as conspiracy theorists or as people who are paying attention, we're always looking forward. So we're looking at the thing that's happening now. We're kind of trying to predict what's about to happen next. And we don't really look behind us and take stock at what we were just exposed to. And so sitting down with her for like an hour and a half or something like that and talking about everything that was 2019 was jarring, dude. You absolutely cannot fault people for falling for QAnon.
No, Chaney's great.
I've been out of New York for about 2 years now. I'm living in Florida. And I don't even remember why I left. I don't remember those emotions of like, probably when I first made contact with you, Charlie, I was still in New York and I was like full of angst. Like, the pressure was coming down on me, like the pressure to get a vaccine or lose your job, the pressure to even go outside and from your family and all this crazy shit with COVID that was going on. I left and it's like alleviated. I can't even relate to the anger of like, if I watched myself on a show 2 years ago, I'm like, no, not anymore. I've left that person behind. So like, to think about the trauma that we've faced, or that we were given like in that time period, it's hard to even go back and really, it must be part of their plan. Cause I'm not the same person. Like I have something in my brain has completely snapped where I'm just like, it's better though, because I was like, my health was actually paying a toll from being stressed out. Like one day, this is a true story. I was in my truck at work and I'm reading. And I've read about that the policy that they were going to vote on in New York, where it was like they can detain you for or put you in jail for it was basically talking about if you were a health threat, and they were talking about FEMA camps and literally going to vote on this. They voted it down again, but once I saw that, I put my house up for sale on Zillow, and I called my wife after, and I was like, the house is for sale, and she was like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, it's for sale, and then we're going to talk about this after. It takes a while to sell a house anyway, but. I spoke with her and she was like, this is kind of crazy. I was like, yeah, but what's going on right now is kind of crazy. You know, they eased back on it in New York. They pulled these restrictions back, but they already did this. So what's to say that they don't, boom, put it back on and do some shit? I was like, let's get out of here. It's someplace where we're not going to be subjugated, where I can think about what I'm doing next, not what other people are doing to me.
That's the thing that was so, one of the things that was so horrible about COVID is like, you can't plan anything. You can't plan an event. You know, you can't plan. Like, I've talked to Berwick and be like, what's the deal with the Narcopulco? He's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can even, I don't know. He's like, I'd love to do, I'd love to put it on. This is what, 2021. Yeah, I'd love to put it on, but can anybody get here? Or are people just going to go, oh, this is more trouble than it's worth? So it's like, if you can't plan ahead because you don't know what sort of restrictions there's going to be, as just as a, from a company standpoint, everything kind of comes to an end. My wife's in the event and travel planning business where they plan events 3 years or 2 years out. It's like,
I get it.
What do you do? You don't even know what the world's going to look like in 2 years, you know? So you on some level, you just kind of have to say, well, we're just making the decision. We're going to do it and we're going to go for it. But it fucked a lot of people up. It screwed up people physically, obviously mentally, we saw that, but it put a lot of people, did wonders for Florida, though. I mean,
it's a genius move. David, you've done combat or like MMA, I believe. I used to box for a long time. And if you want to be successful, the first thing that I want to do to you is I want to touch you a little bit and make you react. The second thing I want you to do is just constantly react to whatever I'm doing. Any of my feints, any kind of movement, I want to see you moving, because now you're not thinking offensively against me. You're kind of like, your guard is up. So you can't be as creative, where now I'm dictating my dance and you're reacting to me. And that's exactly what they did to all of humanity for 2 years. And I just decided I'm not reacting anymore. I'm just going to go over there and do my own thing. And now I'm dancing in the corner like a fucking retard. And they're like, well, just leave that guy alone, I guess.
They have all these other people. So what you did is very similar to what I did, right? Where we disconnect from the propaganda machine, stop letting it affect you, right? But they did have a tremendous amount of success, because look at the amount of people that were wearing one mask, two masks. Some people were wearing three masks. Some people were wearing bags over their heads in the supermarkets. Some people are triple, quadruple vaccinated. You know what I mean? And so I wish I could get real numbers. You really can't ever get real numbers. All they do is lie about the numbers. But it's like, were they successful at creating that level of paranoia? Because I think those people did break. And when you're engaged in that level of fear constantly, people like us detach from it, right? But the other people that are constantly afraid, they need a savior. They need somebody to come in and alleviate this fear from them. And who's going to do that but Big Daddy government? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's why you see that reaction. If you push back on certain people, you go, hey, you don't need to wear a mask alone in your car. You don't need to remain 6 feet away. You don't really need to get a vaccine that has 12% efficacy that wanes over 2 months. You don't need that. Well, the people that do that shit, they have a visceral reaction to that. And it's because they are effectively in a permanent state of fear. Whereas a lot of us, you know, me, you, Charlie, we detached. And that's the only way to survive. You can't be inundated with, like I said, that level of a propaganda machine on a constant basis. You're going to die, you know, or you're going to become that thing. Yeah. You're going to become that thing that is just dependent on Big Daddy government, and you need somebody to save you, which is exactly what they wanted.
Which is exactly what Yuri Bezmenov talked about with ideological subversion, that you take the demoralization process takes 20 years, the destabilization process takes 5 years, but then you need a 6 week crisis. You have a 6 week crisis. And then after that, then you move into the fourth and final stage, which is normalization. And once you get into the normalization, then you normalize things like, we've always worn a mask. We've always been at war with Eurasia. You know what I mean? Like, we've always been. So they get you into this this state of mind where it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm going for my yearly COVID booster. Like, duh. And those people are broken. But you have to have the 6 week window of terror. And he describes this in his conversations with Ed Griffin, that afterwards, after that 6 weeks, he said, I can take them. I can tell them that there are concentration camps in Russia. They won't believe me. I can take them and physically show them the camps, and it still won't change their mind. He says that I can shower them with authentic information and won't work. It won't help because they're broken. And so what we have to deal with out here is, if we don't have enough problems to worry about, we have to deal with a huge segment of the population that is broken, and they drive and they vote. And they get in line in front of you, and they're out. They're like zombies.
Well, what I found is the best way to deal with these people, because I tried arguing with them and presenting logic and facts, straight up comedy, man. If you can make somebody laugh, you're reaching a different part of their soul or their brain. It's opening up, and there's also a societal effect where, like, if they're not laughing with you, everybody here is laughing at you. So it's kind of like, all right, you have, I'm not just like one-on-one telling you facts where you could tell me, screw you, you're an anti-Semite or whatever you want to call me that day. I'm putting societal pressure on you. You know, I'm really pushing you. It's mean, but hey, what you're doing to us is mean. You're just going along with the flow. And now, you know, my kids can't live a normal life. Like, my son had delayed speech for like probably 2 years. Because growing up in New York, when he was born in 2020, he didn't see anybody's fucking face for the first year and a half of his life. That's, you know, what did that do to him developmentally? It's like, fuck you people. I'm going to do what I have to do now, and I don't care.
I feel like the best antidote to this is when you get these authoritarian lunatics on stage and they're telling you what this is what we're going to do, the Dan Andrews of the world in Australia, and they're screaming and yelling. You know what works the best is if the entire audience is laughing at you. It's hard to be an authoritarian cunt when the entire audience is just mocking you. So I think that we've got to get to a point where we infuse humor. We laugh at the absurdity of it all. I think you guys are doing a great job. What's the best place for everybody to find you and support your work? And of course, now we have to talk about your Twitter handle as well. Top, David, start with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Find me at Top Lobster, at Top Lobster with an A. Toplobster.com is where I sell my merch. I'm a graphic designer. I'm not really just a Twitter person. Merchengine.com. I make designs for all kinds of podcasts, for like the Gas Digital Realm. And we're working on some other really fun stuff. Catch us at NephilimDeathSquad.com. That's our link tree to everything we do. And Tower Gang. That's a my baby there, if you like offensive comedy or the kind of crazy shit that we were saying here. But yeah, they're very much the same.
Lobster with a soft A, not a hard R. Although,
please don't use the hard R. Please, no, how dare you.
Raven.
You can find me, like Top said, NephilimDeathSquad.com. Come and watch us on YouTube, Rumble. I know we stream live on Twitter. You could also find me at The Raven's Watch on YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, everywhere you have your podcasts. And come find me on Twitter, David_Lee_Corbo. I hang out there most often.
Yeah, man. It's a fun time. You guys are the best. Thanks for coming on. If you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can find me on Twitter at Macroaggressions, where I'm usually commenting on Top's posts. And if you want, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.